I have been hanging around these parts for a long time, like a half a century. Almost all the seasons of my life have been lived out here with this church being the constant, although it has changed as well, while so much else was changing around me. In the words of one of the Psalms, I was young, and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken. It has been and still is a privilege to have been here all along. I am going to talk about prayer today. Such a big topic, right? Specifically, my focus is using the words of the Psalms for personal prayer to conclude our Summer of Psalms. Wasn't it a great teaching series, All Summer Psalms? There is an overwhelming amount of research and study by people far more learned than me on this topic, but I'm not headed that direction. Like most of you, I have not attended seminary. I haven't taken any Bible courses, read many commentaries. My qualification for standing here today is a lifetime of prayer and a very thick portfolio of life situations to apply that prayer to. In the end, isn't that really what the Psalms are all about? They're not grand theological expositions or doctrinal treatises, even though they're full of wisdom and important truths. They're prayers for the journey. And I like to imagine that I pray them just as much as a Hebrew person did back then. Some of you are way ahead of me in this practice. At a recent party, a friend told me about his advanced degree assignment to pray a psalm every day. Well, you could try that too. If you double up a bit, you could finish by the end of the year, as there are 144 days left starting today, and there's 150 psalms. I love concrete plans like that. Or you could start in the morning with, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. That's from Psalm 143:8. Or you could pray a psalm at night. Psalm 4:8, in peace, I both lie down and sleep, for you alone, God, make me dwell in safety. You could pray all day long, evening, morning, noon. I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Psalm 55:17. But let me ask you, what was your first prayer? Do you remember? My mom told me stories about hearing me talking to someone in my crib. And she said, who are you talking to? And I reportedly said, Jesus. Maybe many of us did that, and no one remembers. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. It says Psalm 8, verse 2. So parents, give your baby space to babble. They may be talking to Jesus too. But to answer my question, the first prayer that I do remember is the rather scary, now I lay me down to sleep. If you know, you can pray along. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Did you pray that one too? You must have from the joining in. That prayer was first printed in 1737. Are any families still using it today? It was quite popular in the 1950s. My parents were faithful Catholics, so my brothers and I were sent to the brand new local Catholic school, where, by the way, we walked home for lunch every day. Right away, I learned my next three prayers from the nuns: the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. We just said the Our Father a few moments ago, but we call it the prayer that Jesus prayed, or the Lord's Prayer, and a few of the words are a little bit different. But I tell you, these three prayers were very useful in many situations, especially for penance from the priest in the confessional box, as that was the usual assignment. Say 3 to 5 Hail Marys, or maybe Glory Bees, or whatever one's sin required. Anybody remember that? Of course, if it was a really bad sin, it might be more. And if I had a really bad sin to confess, I would just go to a neighboring parish, so the priest might not recognize my voice. Those childhood sins, yes. I still put myself to sleep every time when I go to bed at night, if I take a nap in the afternoon, certainly if I wake up at night, with these seven words from the Lord's Prayer: Your kingdom come, your will be done. This covers any situation in my life, in my family, in the world. Try it. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So compact, takes care of so many things. Praying for me in those early years was praying those prayers. That was enough. Until it wasn't. And I broke up with Jesus for a season. The next prayer that I remember praying, I was lying on the floor in a tiny chapel at Denver University, where I landed after a lot of wandering around in the desert, which is a story for another time. And when I had this little chapel, it was on campus, to myself in the evenings, I went in and I lay down on the floor and I pounded my fist. I'm sure I read about this in a book or a movie. This was the technique to use. And I begged, if you are God, show yourself to me. And he did. One evening, after a round of crying out in the chapel, I stepped out and I was met by a guy who was doing street evangelism on campus. I argued with him a bit. He asked me to check out the book of John in my Bible. Of course, I didn't have a Bible, but my roommate did. And that was the beginning of the story that I'm still living. That summer, 55 years ago, I began to follow Jesus, and I never looked back. Reordering my life with him at the center refocused everything else. It was also the end of praying someone else's prayers. No more Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be, except at family funerals or other occasions. My brand new faith needed my own prayers. Anything else felt less than authentic. I got good at conversational prayer, and I still remember the terror of praying out loud the first time at an intervarsity gathering with my new friend, Tom Sook. As for the Psalms, I didn't grow up paying attention to them. They showed up in the liturgy of the Mass, but I never saw them as prayers. They were more like literature, poems written a long time ago. They seemed very Protestant. I made it to adulthood without a working knowledge of the famous Psalm 23. The first psalm that I really noticed in my mid-20s was Psalm 61. That may not ring a bell for many of you, but at the time, Steve Nicholson, and my husband Tom and I were leading a prayer meeting on Thursday night, 1974-75, that became some of the seeds of this church. Steve taught himself, I know this might be hard for you, to play the guitar so that we would have a worship leader. And one night, he brought us a new worship song based on Psalm 61. One line in there is, "From the ends of the earth, I call to you." Gosh, I would sing it if I had a voice. "I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Wow, that was better than any of my recent prayers. And I realized I could use that line anytime I wanted to or needed to. So what else was there in this book that I could use? During this same season, I was wounded by a friend. Yep, that happened back then too. And I came across Psalm 55, verses 12 to 14. "If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers." I was definitely crying out to God in my own words, but coming back to these verses, as well as a similar theme in Psalm 41, verse 9, "Even my close friend whom I trusted, who shared my bread, has lifted his heel against me." Those verses brought me great comfort in my woundedness. So I kept reading, and in my ongoing reading of the Psalms, I began to see an aspect of the story of my life being addressed on each page. We all share the same story themes, don't we? It's the details that differed. Who here hasn't known the longing of waiting, the need for rescue, the elusiveness of sleep, the anxious thoughts of the night, the desire for safety, the overflow of thanks, the relief of getting better from an illness? There's a psalm for all of that. There is no aspect of the interior life, no kind of religious experience, no spiritual need of man that is not depicted and lived out in the Psalms. Thomas Merton. While there are general all-purpose psalms for all occasions, such as Psalm 42, verse 1, "I cry out to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell him my trouble. And he listens." Or Psalm 145, 1, "Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief." And he does. But I want to share with you 6 common life themes that you have or you will encounter, and invite you to use the Psalms to pray or affirm God's help in these situations. The first one is anxious thoughts. Some of you have likely had buckets of anxious thoughts before you walked in the door today. You don't need to raise your hands, but I'll raise my hand, because it's not hard to have anxious thoughts when you know you're coming up here to speak. Just to be clear, I am not talking about clinical anxiety, although these psalms would be helpful there too, but the kind of anxious thoughts that show up at any point, especially at night. Psalm 94, 18 to 19. "When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me." When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Can we say that last part together? When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Does anyone have trouble sleeping due to anxious thoughts? Apparently so. Did you know the Psalms can help you? This is one of my favorites. I will not fear the terror of the night. Psalm 91:5. Now, we might all have different terrors that show up at night, but the feeling is pretty universal, and it often disturbs our sleep. So which anxious thoughts wake you up at night? Worries of the day that feel like terror at night? Scary medical conditions that you Googled that you might have? A million what-if scenarios. Odd noises outside. Headlines in the news. I can still visualize old Twilight Zone episodes that can scare me if I'm alone in a house. So I get them too, the terrors. But I find if I immediately start praying, I will not fear the terror of the night. I will not fear the terror of the night. It works. The peace and the presence of God shows up, and the terror slips away. Also, if insomnia is a problem, try this one, Psalm 127, verse 2. He gives to his beloved sleep. Remind him of that during the night. He gives to his beloved sleep. So what is your terror of the night? Can you pray this verse this evening, tonight, during the night? I will not fear the terror of the night. The rest of Psalm 91 is really good too. The second one is waiting weariness. Most of life is spent waiting. Think about it. Every one of us is waiting for something. A new job, a partner, a child, test results, acceptances, a breakthrough, a situation to change, an answer. Some seasons of waiting seem to take a lifetime. Anybody here waiting for something? The psalmist waited too. This is one of my favorite verses for waiting. Psalm 38:15. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord my God. We think we're waiting for the circumstances to change, right? We're waiting for an individual. We're waiting for results. But aren't we really waiting for God to act? Praying the Psalms puts the waiting in a different context. I'm reminded of stuff I'm no longer waiting for. Reminded of answers that have come. And that gives me strength for the waiting that I'm currently doing. So stop right now and pray that psalm for something that you are waiting for. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord my God. I give you a moment for that prayer. There's other good psalms about waiting. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Sometimes I'm not so patient, though. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. And in the ESV version, Psalm 62:1, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. The third scenario for praying the Psalms is that you need a rescue. This is different from waiting in that there's usually an intensity involved. You don't feel safe. You feel outnumbered. Your back is against the wall. Anyone in need of some rescue here today? The word rescue shows up at least 30 times in the Psalms. Try one of these prayers the next time you feel trapped. The one I use the most often is Psalm 25, verse 20. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. This one might fit your circumstances too. Psalm 22, 21. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. One doesn't have to live too long to encounter the lions and the wild oxen that are out there who seem to be after us. Psalm 31, 2. If you need help right now in the moment, try this one. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to help me. We got caught up last year in a lawsuit over some work done on our home that we had nothing personally to do with. All of a sudden, we were getting subpoenaed. I casually mentioned my daughter to the very nice lawyer, and she got a subpoena, even though she doesn't even live with us. The depositions were long, and they felt harassing. It felt so unfair, and we were looking for a way out, for a rescue. We just recently heard that it was over. The official rescue finally came. But before that, we were reminded of the faithful care of him who cares for us by praying this psalm. 34:22, the Lord will rescue his servants, for no one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. So where do you need rescue today? Which one of these psalms can you pray? How about number 4? You have to do something hard. I think this is the best verse for this. By my God, I can scale a wall. Psalm 18:29. To be honest, there's no way I can scale a wall on my own. I can't even climb out of a swimming pool. I cannot get up off the floor without going on all fours, and even then it's hard. But yet, by my God, I can scale a wall. Comes out of my mouth often when I'm faced with a difficult situation. Is there a hard conversation you need to initiate? A confrontation of something at work? Steps to take for better health you might be avoiding, such as scheduling your colonoscopy? When you need to say yes, when you need to say no, where do you need to scale a wall? Psalm 18 is full of powerful affirmations like these. As in the intro, it says, David sang to the Lord all the words of these songs when the Lord delivered him from all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. There are other good prayers included in this long Psalm 18, 50 verses. I'm not going to read them all. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. Some of you feel like you're in deep waters today. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. That has happened many times. It is God who arms me with strength. But if you don't have time to go for the whole psalm, by my God, I can scale a wall, will often suffice. You will feel yourself getting empowered as you pray. So pray that now for a storyline in your life. Number five, when you need to stay steady. There are about a dozen verses in the Psalms where the plea is to not be shaken. When I think of being shaken, I think of the jar of whipping cream passed around on Thanksgiving morning for everyone to take a turn to shake. The first 100 shakes, not much happens. But then the whipping cream begins to slowly thicken. And after a lot more shakes, the butter finally emerges. Situations in our life can feel like that. We can feel like we're stuck in a place like the jar, and the outside circumstances are relentless in shaking us up over and over again. My experiences with being shaken usually involve someone else's actions that are affecting me. And often I've invited myself into the jar, so to speak, when it wasn't my issue to begin with. So what is the opposite of shaken? I think it is steady, confident, trusting. When I feel a round of shaking coming, I reach for this psalm. Psalm 16:8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Or this one, Psalm 62:2. Truly, he is my rock and salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Or remind myself, Psalm 125:1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but last forever. Well, that's me, and that's you. We trust in the Lord. When we pray, or in this case, repeat that affirmation in the form of a prayer, we remind ourselves that our trust in the Lord keeps us from being shaken, and we feel the steadying settle back in. What is shaking you right now? Maybe you're in a smooth sailing season, because those are come too, but the storm will rise again, as it always does. Can you use one of these verses to choose staying steady in the Lord? I'll give you a moment. Finally, when you need comfort. Most of us have a spot or two every day where we could use some comfort. You're sad, maybe even brokenhearted. You're fearful. You feel lost. You could really use some comfort from God. My decades of journals are full of stories like this. Like in the early part of the pandemic, when my mom was failing quickly and she was 300 miles away. And the facility where she was locked down because of COVID, so no one could visit her. And then the day came when we all had to say goodbye to her over the phone. And then she died. And the very next day, a family member was diagnosed with cancer. I needed a lot of comfort then. or years ago, when I was so excited to be pregnant again, and I woke up in pain one morning and realized I would never see that child this side of heaven. Or last fall, when one of my closest friends lay dying next to me after a short bout with a bad cancer. And I spent the night telling her the story of our friendship, and then she died the next day. Or when I have felt very misunderstood by those who I thought knew me well. Who else could I turn to other than the one who does know me the best and holds all the hope? Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 71:20-23, you who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my honor and comfort me again. This one might be the easiest to memorize. Psalm 142:6. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. We all can use that right now about a situation in our lives. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. His comfort is real. It is tangible. It is soothing as I pray these psalms. With more time, I could share with you psalms to use when you're afraid, when you're happy, when you're angry, when you're thankful, and more. They are all in there. So which of these prayers from the Psalms spoke to you the loudest today? Can you commit it to memory? I have had many decades to live into the truth of these Psalms and to pray them over my own life and over the lives of many I love and of you. I hope you will too. They're more precious to me every year. Psalm 36, verses 8 and 9 sum up the view from my season of life. In my early years, this was not as clear at all, but some things you just grow into. I feast on the abundance of your house, and you give me drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, I see light. So I will end with a line from the famous Psalm 23 that I am now very familiar with. And it sums up how God meets us in all these situations, when we're anxious, when we're waiting, when we need a rescue, when we have to do hard things, when we feel shaken, when we need comfort. The end result is the same. He restores my soul. So, Lord, I pray that for this congregation right now. I pray that every soul out here would be restored. I pray that everyone out here today that's coming to you with their anxious thoughts, with their weariness and waiting, with their need for a rescue, faced with hard things, feel shaken, need comfort, that you would meet each one of them today. Thank you. Amen.